Okay, so we're going to learn some Mishnah Berurah to Simin Tuf Ayin Gimel Se'if Vav, which basically we'll talk about Karpas, a little bit about Haggadah. So let's go. So Noto Yodav V'tzarech Tibur Rishon V'lo Yivarech Al HaNetila. You wash your hands, but you don't make a bracha on Netilas Yadayim. You wash your hands because the halacha that we had in Siman Kuf Nun Ches of Netilas Yadayim is at Dover Shetibula B'mashka. That's something that you dip in the liquid requires Netilas Yadayim, but we don't make a bracha. Now the Vilna Gaon is of the opinion that you do make a bracha on the Netilas Yadayim. However, the Bir Halacha comments, the Shar HaTzion comments, that even according to the Gra, since you're not eating a kezayis, you would not make a bracha. Now, it happens that this is kind of a red herring, because the Vilna Gaon himself writes that you should eat a kezayis at Karpas, so therefore the Vilna Gaon says that you would make a bracha at Orchatz because you should eat a kezayis. We'll talk about the Vilna Gaon Shita of Karpas in 2 minutes, but just like for what we have so far, you wash the Netilas Yadayim, and you do not make a bracha. Now the Mishnah Berurah over here has an interesting Bir Halacha. He writes that even though you are eating less than a kezayis of Karpas, that's our practice, nonetheless you wash your hands. Earlier in the Mishnah Berurah, he wrote in Siman Kuf Nun Ches, that if you are eating less than a kezayis of davar shetibula b'mashgeh, if you take something less than a kezayis and you put it in the liquid, so then you do not make any netilas yadayim. No netilas yadayim is necessary. Right? The Mishnah Berurah wrote in Kuf Nun Ches that for less than a kezayis of something that's dipped in the liquid, there is no need for Netilas Yadayim at all. Ad kan devarev. So the Mishnah Berurah over here writes in the Bir Halacha, yes, I wrote that over there, but I changed my mind. And not only did I change my mind, he writes in the second editions of the Mishnah Berurah, I corrected it at the bottom of the page. To the best of my knowledge, this is the only place in the Mishnah Berurah where he says, I made a mistake, I changed my mind, and I corrected it in the second editions. In the second edition of the Mishnah Berurah, actually, you'll see a little star at the bottom of the page there in Kuf Nun Ches, and he writes, Shuv Ra'isi, Shuv Chazarti Bo, something like that. In other words, as a matter of halacha, we paskin that even Pachos Mikazayis of Dovish of Tibul of Mashke, even if the thing that you're immersing in the liquid is less than the kezayis, so you still wash Netilas Yadayim. Our practice, however, is against the Gra, that you do not make a bracha. Ad kan.
So, if the halacha is that we do wash our hands, why would there not be a bracha?
Yeah, so apparently, remember, the Balei HaTosfos right there in Psachim, that the din of washing our hands on Davar Shetibula B'mashka only applies Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayam. Bizman Hazeh, it does not apply. And in fact, many people throughout the year are not careful to wash their hands on Davar Shetibula B'mashka, no? Many people eat a pickle. Whenever you eat pickles, you have to wash your hands whenever you eat pickles. French fries might not be a mashke. If I dip my french fries in ketchup, ketchup is another ochel. Mashke, by definition, is something that is liquidy and could quench your thirst in theory. Pickles are darash etibula b'mashke, and that pickles you
ketchup
dip into...
Ketchup
right, ketchup does not quench your thirst. That's correct.
Except
yes,
for me.
Even for you, ketchup doesn't quench your thirst.
No, I eat ketchup plain.
Right, you eat ketchup plain, but it doesn't make you not thirsty. The point is, if you eat a pickle is a cucumber that's dipped in vinegar or the like.
A pickle makes you more thirsty.
A pickle is something that's dipped in liquids, so therefore you should wash your hands when you eat a pickle all year round. Nonetheless, many people have a practice that they don't. Now, that practice is probably wrong. Al pi halacha, you're supposed to dip your hands Yes. Abi halacha, you're supposed to wash nitilas yadayim whenever you have a davar shetibulo b'mahashke. Our practice is that we only do it at Leil HaSeder, or excuse me, some people on the practice only do it at Leil HaSeder, which is probably wrong. The Kozhik lover, Reb Arye Tzvi Frumer, was the second Rosh Hashiva in Chachmei Lublin. And he had a practice, his tshuvas were based on trying to defend all of the practices of Klai Yisrael, even when they're wrong. So he works very hard to defend this practice of not washing the tilas yadayim, davar shetibulo b'mashke, throughout the year. However, the practice is wrong. You're supposed to. Good?
If we paskin like... So we don't paskin like tosos.
We don't paskin like tosos, but since there is the sheet of tosos, when we wash the tilas yadayim, we don't make a bracha. That's basic.
Why would we... it seems weird to cut be machmer in the bracha just because
again safek brachos lahakel is a very powerful thing. Whenever there's any safek, we don't make a bracha, even though we do the mitzvah despite the fact, and as we don't pass like tosis, but we're choshish for tosis insofar as not making a bracha.
Isn't the whole point of psak that we're not choshish for somebody, or is it not a safek anymore?
Not exactly, no, not completely. Oh, sometimes the point of psak is that we try to weigh different shitos, etc. I don't think that party is chametz Yosef Dov. Okay, let's go on. So you wash until yadayim, we don't make a bracha, and then you take less than a kezayis of karpas, and you dip it into chometz, you dip it into vinegar. Our practice is that we don't dip it into vinegar, we dip it into salt water. The Kaf HaChaim writes that if you neither have vinegar nor salt water, you're supposed to dip your karpas into wine.
That's wine? What he said.
Yeah, wine. If you don't have salt water or vinegar, you dip your karpas into wine.
Does matzuk
kal
count as wine?
Now.
Does beer count as wine?
Well, you can't have beer on Pesach.
Does whiskey count as wine? Yeah. Does count as wine?
Most whiskeys are not going to be kosher on Pesach also.
Does grape juice count as wine?
Yes. Now, here's the thing. You take less than a kezayis, and you dip it in the vinegar. There is a question in the poskim as to whether karpas requires hesebon. Do you have to lean when you eat karpas? Now, some poskim assume that you lean when you eat karpas. I think the Chidon, the Birka Yosef, says you lean. Others say that you don't lean when you eat karpas. It probably depends on what karpas represents. Right. On the one hand, karpas is zecher l'cheiros. It represents the karpasim, the fancy blankets or whatever that we have when we are in Mitzrayim. That's one possibility. Can you hear me, Bella? There you are. Right. On the other hand, karpas could also represent samach perach, the 600,000 people who did hard labor. So karpas represents...
It's 12 o'clock, it's midday.
Karpas represents avdus, and it represents cheiros. It represents
this
both of
a
them
really good
together.
Mirror.
So some poskim say
is
that
a
you...
a really good mirror.
Some poskim say that you lean when you do karpas. Others say that you don't lean. Rabban Zion Abba Shaul, in his Tshuvos, Arlet Zion, entertains the idea that maybe you should eat some of your karpas leaning and some of your karpas not leaning. Now, considering the fact that the entire karpas is pachos mikazayis, that's a little bit of a challenge. You have a tiny bit eating, a tiny bit leaning, excuse me, a tiny bit not leaning. It is a bit of a challenge, but that's what some of the poskim say that you should do. Now, we mentioned that we eat less than a kazayis. The reason why we eat less than a kazayis is because we don't want to make a bracha achrona. We don't want to make a bracha achrona because our bracha on the karpas is going to exempt the maror, the bari pri adam on the maror that we'll have, let's say, 2 hours later. Now, this raises some sort of question because v'cha'ora, there's a hefsek of 2 hours between the karpas and the maror. But like we noted earlier from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, it's not called a hefsek if you're doing necessary activities. Since the Haggadah is a necessary activity, so therefore, saying the Haggadah is not really a hefsek, and you can be motzi the maror with the bracha and karpas. However, the Vilna Gaon is quoted here in the Bir Halacha, and the Vilna Gaon says, no, you're supposed to eat a kezayis of karpas and make a bracha acharona. Because, explains the Gaon, if you eat less than the kezayis and you don't make a bracha acharona, it won't be motzi the hadama on the maror. The Gaon says that since, according to Ashkenazim, we make a bracha on all four cups of wine at the seder. Remember, Sfaradim only make a bracha on cups 1 and 3. But Ashkenazim make a bracha on all four cups of wine at the seder. If we make a bracha on all four cups of wine at the seder, that means that we are saying that the Haggadah is a hefsek. If it's not a hefsek, why would I need to make a bracha on cup number 2? If the Haggadah is a hefsek for making a new bracha on the wine, it should also be a hefsek that you can't be motzi the maror.
So that's already
an interesting question.
Around what time do we usually start our seder?
We'll start early this year, Yosef. Though we're talking
about. What time
minutes.
Do we usually end?
Yosef, come here. Talk about the seder over here.
The point is.
12 o'clock. Yeah, come here.
The point is that the karpas for the Vilna Gaon, the brachon karpas, can't exempt the maror, because the maror is so long away from the karpas, it doesn't patter. And the proof is that we make a second Barei Pri HaGafen on the wine. Now, it's not abundantly clear that this is correct on a few levels. First of all, it could be the reason the Mugen Avraham writes, the reason why I make a Barei Pri HaGafen on all the cups of wine is not because there's a hefsek, but rather, the Gaon explains, we make a Barei Pri HaGafen, all the cups of wine, because each cup is a separate mitzvah. Since each cup is a separate mitzvah, the Barei Pri HaGafen I'm making on the wine is not a Birchas HaNehenin. But Birchas HaNehenin, if I have in mind, I'm going to drink wine later, many hours, like Shavuos night. Let's say you begin Shavuos night drinking wine, you're going to drink wine again and again and again throughout the night, you don't make a new bracha. Because it's not a hefsek, as long as you have in mind, and it's going for a very long time. However, the reason we make a Barei Pri HaGafen on all the four cups of wine is because we view each cup of wine as a separate mitzvah. That's what the Bir Halacha says, and in this way he refutes the Gra. The Gra said that you should eat a kezayis, because the Barei Pri HaAdama on karpas won't exempt the mara anyway, because there's a long hefsek between, and that's why we make a brach on the second cup of wine. The Bir Halacha says, no, the reason you make a bracha on the second cup of wine is because it's a separate mitzvah. Well, if that's the case, the Bir Halacha says, I still don't understand it. Because maybe I should make a Barei Pri HaAdama on the maror later on, because maror is also a separate mitzvah. I have one mitzvah of karpas, one mitzvah of maror, therefore I should make another Barei Pri HaAdama on the maror. Now it happens that the Balei HaTosfos have a different suggestion. The Balei HaTosfos there at the beginning of Arvei Pesachim, they say that maybe the reason we don't make a Barei Pri HaAdama on maror is because maror is Dvarim HaBoim Machmas HaSe'uda. Maror is there, and maror whets our appetite. It makes us hungrier to eat more. If you eat a good gishmak, a piece of lettuce, it doesn't really fill you up, no? No one gets full on lettuce. I think there's an episode in Seinfeld to this effect, that you can't make friends with lettuce, and you don't get full on lettuce. The idea is that the lettuce is megari or taiva sa'achila. When you eat an appetizer, it makes you hungrier for the real food. It could be that the reason we don't make a bracha on the maror is because maror is megari or taiva sa'achila. The maror makes us want to eat more, and that's why we don't make the bracha on maror. Now,
is that a real pshat?
Yes. The Balei HaTosfos suggests that that's a real pshat. The reason why we don't make a Barei Pri HaAdama on maror is because maror is Dvarim HaBoim Machmas HaSe'uda. It's like if you eat, you eat salad in the middle of the meal, you don't make a bracha because it makes you more hungry for the meat, etc. So therefore, you don't make a bracha on it. Now, if that's the case, by the way, okay, we'll leave it like this. So that's why we don't make a bracha on maror. There are two opinions there in the Tosfos. Is there no bracha on maror because the karpas patters the bracha on maror? Or is there no bracha on maror because The Mara is considered Dvarim Habayim Machmas HaSe'uda. Now, of course, this might relate. What?
Harpa's also Dvarim
Habayim Machmas HaSe'uda. I didn't hear you?
Karpas should be the same din.
So Karpas should be... But the only thing is that Karpas is before the Se'uda. Right? Dvarim Habayim Machmas HaSe'uda is after I make Hamotzi. Right? So then do I make a... Right? Dessert. If the dessert is part of the meal, or the dessert somehow, if it's an appetizer, the difference between appetizers and desserts in halacha, so an appetizer makes me hungry for something else, dessert doesn't make me hungry for something else. That's a technical difference between them. So that is basically, now one could argue, and this is just the world according to Schwartz.
But if that's, according to the second Pesach of Tosfos, then we should be, there's no reason not to eat a full Pesach.
That's correct. And that's what the Vilna Gaon said, and that's what the Rambam felt. The Vilna Gaon and the Rambam say you eat a kezayis of karpas. How can you not make a bar pri adama on the maror? I don't make a bar pri adama on the maror because maror is the rabbi machmas haseuda. Absolutely. Absolutely. Can you just say it again louder?
Why is it that all the Haggadahs and Pesach Bukot say to eat less?
Right, so again, we are following those shittos that Maror is not Dvarim Habayim Machmas HaSe'uda. Now, it seems to me that this question might depend on what you eat for Maror, no? Do you eat lettuce for Maror, or do you eat horseradish for Maror? Right, remember we spoke about it the other day? That most poskim, I think, feel that horseradish doesn't count as Maror. But horseradish might really be Megarer Taivas HaAchila. Horseradish actually might make you hungrier. It gets all your gastric juices flowing. When you have horseradish, you might get hungrier. I don't know if lettuce makes you hungrier. Quite honestly, I think lettuce, when I eat lettuce, that makes me hungrier. That's because my lettuce has salad dressing on it. The salad dressing makes me hungrier. The lettuce leaf itself is 97.6% water. It doesn't do anything. Lettuce, like... So it seems to me that's the pshat. Again, but obviously there's much more to say. So again...
Do we see such thing that... So on a regular meal, I don't understand why horseradish is really... Like, I understand what you're saying, but if it's in the middle of the meal, does it really make a difference whether it makes you hungrier or not?
Again, it would seem to me that if I would eat lettuce... It seems to me... That if I would eat lettuce in the middle of a regular meal, maybe I should make a bari pri ha'adama. The only reason I don't make a bari pri ha'adama in my salad in the middle of the meal is because my salad has salad dressing, and the salad dressing is megara taivas ha'achila. The salad dressing makes me hungrier. The lettuce itself does not make me hungrier. If you would ask me straight, again, I'm not pasking halacha l'maisa, but were someone to ask me a shayla halacha l'maisa, I would say that you should make a bari pri ha'adama on a plain lettuce leave in middle of the meal because lettuce is not megara taivas achila, does not make you hungrier. That's correct. Again, this is the word according to Schwartz, right? It's a different religion. You agree with that, but okay. Now, then you take the middle matzah, you break the middle matzah into two parts, and you put half of it away for the mesubin to guard it, and you'll eat a hafikomen. That's the bigger half. The bigger half goes to hafikomen, and they have to hide it. Matzah requires shimur. You have to hide the hafikomen, not hide it in the sense of put it in a place that no one can find it, but you have to protect it, and that's to go tachas hamapa. The other half you use in the mitzvah achilas matzah. So the bigger half is for hafikomen. Hafikomen represents... Lo'asid Lavo. Afikomen represents Yemos HaMashiach. And Yemos HaMashiach, Lo'asid Lavo, is bigger than this world, therefore the bigger part goes for Afikomen. That's the Hashgafic Kabbalistic reason. The Halachic reason why the bigger part goes for Afikomen is because our practice is that we eat two kezesim for afikomen. Two kezesim have to come from that same matzah. Although we eat two kezesim at achilas matzah, but one kezayis comes from that matzah, the other kezayis comes from the top matzah. So memela, you don't need such a large piece for achilas matzah. The larger piece is for afikomen, because two kezesim have to come from that. my children every year make fun of me because I like to try to do what the Mekubalim say, which is that when you break the matzah at Yachat, you break it into a Yud and a Vav. The Osius Yud and Vav, those Osius 16, represent the Olam Haba. Now, it's my daughter is commenting in the background. Yes, it's impossible in the round matzah to break it to look like a Yud and a Vav, but Olam Haba requires great difficulty to get into it. A Yud and a Vav is not easy, but the Mekubalim say you're supposed to break the matzah into the shape of the Yud and the Vav. Yud and the Vav, by the way, is 16. 16 is also the number of drops of wine that you spill out during Maggid. You do the Eser Makos, you do Dom Eish V'Timros Ashan, and you do the Tzach Hadash Ba'achav, that equals a total of 16. Some poskim say, the Mishnah Berurah writes that you should do it with your etzpa. Other, the etzpa is this finger, is the ring finger. Others say you should do it with the zeres, with tiny little pinky. The Mishnah Berurah in the Shaar HaTzion writes that you should do it by spilling from the kais. Spilling from the kais is probably the best practice because many people get grossed out, for lack of a better term, if you put your fingers into your wine. Especially this year. What?
I'm mifunakim,
but especially this year that some people are worried about transmitting disease or whatever, it might not be such a bad idea to spill the wine out. Now, the Sifrei Chassidus say that any drop of wine that you spill out represents the Umos Ha'olam, and therefore it's a very bad idea to drink that wine afterwards. It could give you Kol HaMachla Shesamtim B'Mitzrayim L'Osem Alecha. All those diseases end up going in the wine, so you should not drink that wine. The problem is, if you don't drink that wine, so then that wine is muktzah. If the wine is muktzah, there's a din of Eim Avaflin Keli Mehichano, that you're not allowed to pour muktzah wine into a regular saucer. So what do you do? So by the Chassidish Rebbes, they used to have a clay shavur. They used to have a broken keli that they would pour the wine into, so that they're not in violation of Eim Avaflin Keli Mehichano when they pour the wine. My brother-in-law's grandfather was the Munastritcher Rebbe, and he used to have a special clay shavur that he would pour his wine into. Okay, this is the din of yachatz. You hide it, then you say holach ma'anya. We already noted that the Rambam does not have the din of yachatz at all. For the Rambam would say the entire Haggadah on the matzahs. Now, it says in the Mishnah Berurah, in many poskim, that there are certain times during the Haggadah that you cover the matzah and you raise the cup. When you say, v'hi she'amda, v'hi she'amda, you cover the matzah. When you say, l'fichach, you pick up your kais, you cover the matzah. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik was of the opinion that there is no problem with having the matzah uncovered and holding the kos. Not only that, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik said that you're supposed to hold the kos throughout Maggid, so much so they told a story that one time someone was at the Seder with Reb Chaim, and someone's cup spilled, and Reb Chaim said you have to refill the cup and repeat the Haggadah, all the parts that you said beforehand. Because Reb Chaim felt that Haggadah al HaKos is Me'akev. So it's a good idea to try to hold the kos during the entire Haggadah. I, the Mekubalim, say that whenever you're holding the kos, the matzah should be uncovered. So it seems to me that the best thing to do is to partially cover the matzah and partially uncover the matzah to fulfill both shittos. And you never have to cover the matzah completely. At Vehisha Amda, you don't cover the matzah. You don't cover the matzah at Lefichach, etc.
Are these more than minhagim?
No.
Covering, uncovering?
These are just minhagim, but these are minhagim that have halach, like most minhagim. Most minhagim have some sort of halachic basis, and that's what this is as well. Now,
Yaakov, can you be a little bit quieter? I'm on the phone. I'm sure now.
Now let's just do the last din that I want to mention. Hi Yaakov, how are you? Let's just do the last point I want to make. The Rama writes that you're supposed to say the Haggadah in the language that people understand, and the Rama quotes that the Rimi Lundri would say the Haggadah in Laz. Lundri is London. Lundri, right, is L-O-N-D-R-E-S. That was the way the Rishon spoke about London, which means that you should say the Haggadah in English. The Haggadah should, again, if you understand Hebrew and Aramaic, call it Kavod, say in Hebrew and Aramaic. But you should say the Haggadah in English if there are people around who might not understand it. It's the idea of the Haggadah isn't that these words have particular kedusha. The idea is that these, this is the way that we tell the mitzvah of leaving Mitzrayim. We tell what happened when we left Mitzrayim. So that is what Haggadah is. As such, saying it in English might be better, in particular if you're at a seder with people who might not know the Hebrew and the Aramaic. So again, so these are some of the halachos that we wanted to cover today. Im Yirtzeh Hashem, tomorrow we'll continue with some of these dinim. Okay?
About saying the Haggadah in English.
Yeah.
At a lot of sederim that I've been to, they read it in Hebrew and then repeat it in English.
I mean, that's also very good. The question is, you know, you have to budget your time. Ideally, obviously, not only should you eat matzah before chatzos, you should eat afikomen before chatzos. Not only should you eat matzah and afikomen before chatzos, the Rama writes that you should say halal before chatzos. So if you're trying to get everything in before chatzos, you have to budget your time appropriately. The question is, do you really accomplish something by saying the Haggadah in Hebrew and then translating into English? Maybe you do, in terms of you're helping people understand what the Hebrew words mean. But if there are people who are not going to understand anyway, I don't think it's Reform Judaism to say the entire Haggadah in English.
Okay. And then an unrelated halakha question, well, Pesach question.
Yeah.
My mom thinks that she might have to get a new plata for Pesach. Is that true?
Can she cover it?
Yes. Just put aluminum foil on top of it.
Cover it with aluminum foil, no need to get a new one.
Okay.
Right. Again, sometimes someone called me the other day, they have like a glass plata that if they cover it, it will break. So again, in those situations, what you do is you put like things that hold a small tray, and you put that small tray on top of the glass plata, and it won't crack that way, and that works. There's no need to buy a new plata for Pesach. You can't really kasher a plata because the plata doesn't get hot enough to kasher it, but covering it certainly works.
In the pantry and stuff like that, do I need to even do anything besides cleaning it out?
You clean it out well. You make sure there's no chametz. Some people have a practice that they cover everything. But Ikar Adin, it's not necessary. All you do is you clean it out.
But would you recommend covering it?
You know, Jewish women who have been making Pesach for a very long time have been covering the shelves in their pantry, in their refrigerator, etc. In the refrigerator, you have to be careful because you need airflow. You can't cover it in a way that it blocks the airflow. But it's not a bad idea to cover. There's nothing lost. But you have to triage. What do you have time for? What don't you have time for? Adkan.
Okay. Is there anything else that I should know about cleaning up for like Pesach? Because we're going to start today.
You could call me, ask me any questions. I'm around. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, have a great day. Hatzlacha.
All right, you too.
Mat Yosef.
I want Boa. Boa.
You bark, wake up.